Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Read Aloud of Wonder. If you're following along in a book, I am on page 135 on the chapter titled November. The next day at school, I told Savannah I had eaten some really bad Halloween candy and gotten sick, which is why I went home early from her party, and she believed me. There was actually a stomach bug going around, so it was a good lie. I also told her that I had a crush on someone else that wasn't Julian, so she would leave me alone about that and hopefully spread the word to Julian that I wasn't interested. She, of course, wanted to know who I had a crush on, and I told her it was a secret. August was absent the day after Halloween, and when he came back, I could tell something was up with him. He was acting so weird at lunch. He barely said a word and kept looking down at his food when I talked to him. Like he wouldn't look me in the eye. Finally, I was like, Augie, is everything okay? Are you mad at me or something? No, he said. Sorry you weren't feeling well on Halloween. I kept looking for Boba Fett in the hallways. Yeah, I was sick. Did you have that stomach bug? Yeah, I guess. He opened a book and started to read, which was kind of rude. I'm so excited about the Egyptian Museum project, I said. Aren't you? He shook his head, his mouth full of food. I actually looked away because between the way he was chewing, which almost seemed like he was being gross on purpose, and the way his eyes were just kind of closed down, I was getting a really bad vibe from him. What project did you get? I asked. He shrugged, pulling out a little scrap of paper from his jeans pocket and flicked it across the table to me. Everyone in the grade got assigned an Egyptian artifact to work on for Egyptian Museum Day, which was in December. The teachers wrote all the assignments down on tiny scraps of paper, which they put into a fishbowl, and then all us kids in the grade took turns picking the papers out of the fishbowl in assembly. So I unfolded Augie's little strip of paper. Oh, cool, I said, maybe a little overexcited because I was trying to get him psyched up. You got the step pyramid of Saqqara. I know, he said. I got Anubis, the god of the afterlife, the one with the dog head. It's actually a jackal head, I corrected him. Hey, you want to start working on our projects together after school? You can come over to my house. He put his sandwich down and leaned back in his chair. I can't even describe the look he was giving me. You know, Summer, he said, you don't have to do this. What are you talking about? You don't have to be friends with me. I know Mr. Tushman talked to you. I have no idea what you're talking about. You don't have to pretend is all I'm saying. I know Mr. Tushman talked to some kids before school started and told them they had to be friends with me. He did not talk to me, August. Yeah, he did. No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. No, he didn't. I swear on my life. I put my hands up in the air so he could see I wasn't crossing my fingers. He immediately looked down at my feet, so I took off my Uggs so he could see my toes weren't crossed. You're wearing tights, he said accusingly. You can see my toes are flat, I yelled. Okay, you don't have to scream. I don't like being accused of things, okay? Okay, I'm sorry. You should be. He really didn't talk to you. Augie. Okay, I'm really sorry. I would have stayed mad at him longer, but then he told me about something bad that had happened to him on Halloween, and I couldn't stay mad at him anymore. Basically, he heard Jack bad-mouthing him and saying really horrible things behind his back. It kind of explained his attitude, and now I knew why he'd been out sick. Promise you won't tell anyone, he said. I won't, I nodded. Promise you won't ever be mean to me like that again. Promise, he said, and we pinky swore. Warning, this kid is R, rated R. I had warned Mom about August's face. I had described what he looked like. I did this because I know she's not always so good at faking her feelings, and August was coming over for the first time today. I even sent her a text at work to remind her about it. But I could tell from the expression on her face when she came home after work that I hadn't prepared her enough. She was shocked when she came through the door and saw his face for the first time. "Hi, Mom, this is Augie. Can he stay for dinner?" I asked quickly. It took a second for my question to even register. "Hi, Augie," she said. "Of course, sweetheart, if it's okay with Augie's mother." While Augie called his mother on his cell phone, I whispered to Mom, "Stop making that weirded out face." She had that look like she'd been watching the news and some horrific event had happened. She nodded quickly, like she hadn't realized she was making a face, and was really nice and normal to Augie after that. After a while, Augie and I got tired of working on our projects and went to hang out in the living room. Augie was looking at the pictures on the mantle. He saw a picture of me and Daddy. "Is that your dad?" he said. "Yeah." "I didn't know you were, what's the word? Biracial." "Right, that's the word. Yeah." He looked at the picture again. "Are your parents divorced? I've never seen him at drop-off or anything." "Oh, no," I said. "He was a platoon sergeant. He died a few years ago."
"Whoa, I didn't know that."
"Yeah," I nodded, handing him a picture of my dad in his uniform.
"Wow, look at all those medals."
"Yeah, he was pretty awesome." "Wow, Summer, I'm sorry." "Yeah, it sucks. I really miss him a lot."
"Yeah, wow,"
he nodded, handing me back the picture. "Have you ever known anyone who died?" I asked. "Just my grandmother, and I don't really even remember her." "That's too bad," Augie nodded. "You ever wonder what happens to people when they die?" I asked. He shrugged. "Not really. I mean, I guess they go to heaven. That's what my grands went." "I think about it a lot," I said. "I think when people die, their souls go to heaven, but just for a little while. Like, that's where they see their old friends and stuff and kind of catch up on old times. But then I actually think the souls start thinking about their lives on Earth, like if they were good or bad or whatever. And then they get born again as brand new babies in the world."
"Why would they want to do that?"
"Because then they get a chance to get it right," I answered. "Their souls get a chance to have a do-over." He thought about what I was saying and then nodded. "Kind of like when you get a makeup test," he said.
"Right.
But they don't come back looking the same," he said. "I mean, they look completely different when they come back, right?"
Oh, yeah, I answered. "Your soul stays the same, but everything else is different."
"I like that," he said, nodding a lot. "I really like that, Summer. That means in my next life, I won't be stuck with this face." He pointed to his face when he said that and batted his eyes, which made me laugh.
"I guess not," I shrugged.
"Hey, I might even be handsome," he said, smiling. "That would be so awesome, wouldn't it? I could come back to be this good-looking dude and be super buff and super tall." I laughed again. He was such a good sport about himself. That's one of the things I like the most about Augie. "Hey, Augie, can I ask you a question?"
"Yeah,"
he said, like he knew exactly what I wanted to ask. I hesitated. I've been wanting to ask him this for a while, but I've always lost the guts to ask. "What?" he said. "You want to know what's wrong with my face?"
"Yeah, I guess, if it's okay for me to ask."
He shrugged. I was so relieved that he didn't seem mad or sad.
"Yeah, it's no big deal," he said casually.
"The main thing I have is this thing called mandibulofacial dysostosis, which took me forever to learn how to pronounce, by the way. But I also have this other syndrome thing that I can't even pronounce. And these things kind of just morph together, like one big super thing, which is so rare they don't even have a name for it. I mean, I don't want to brag or anything, but I'm actually considered something of a medical wonder, you know." He smiled. "That was a joke," he said. "You can laugh." I smiled and shook my head.
"You're funny, Augie," I said.
"Yes, I am," he said proudly. "I am cool beans." The Egyptian Tomb. Over the next month, Augustin and I hung out a lot after school, either at his house or my house. August's parents even invited Mom and me for dinner a couple times. I overheard them talking about fixing Mom up on a blind date with August's Uncle Ben.
On the day of the Egyptian Museum exhibit, we were all really excited and kind of giddy. It had snowed the day before, not as much as it snowed over Thanksgiving break, but still, snow is snow. The gym was turned into a giant museum with everyone's Egyptian artifacts displayed on a table with a little caption card explaining what the thing was. Most of the artifacts were really great, but I have to say, I really think mine and August's were the best. My sculpture of Anubis looked pretty real, and I had even used real gold paint on it, and August had made his step pyramid out of sugar cubes. It was 2 feet high and 2 feet long, and he had spray painted the cubes with this kind of fake sand paint or something. It looked so awesome. We all dressed up in Egyptian costumes. Some of the kids were Indiana Jones type archaeologists. Some of them dressed up like pharaohs. August and I dressed up like mummies. Our faces were covered except for two little holes for the eyes and one little hole for the mouth. When the parents showed up, we all lined up in the hallway in front of the gym. Then we were told we could go get our parents, and each kid got to take his or her parent on a flashlight tour through the dark gym. August and I took our moms around together. We stopped at each exhibit, explaining what it was, talking in whispers, answering questions. Since it was dark, we used our flashlights to illuminate the artifacts while we were talking. Sometimes, for dramatic effect, we would hold the flashlights under our chins while we were explaining something in detail. It was so much fun, hearing all the whispers in the dark, seeing all the lights zigzagging around the dark room. At one point, I went over to get a drink from the water fountain. I had to take the mummy wrap off my face. "Hey, Summer," said Jack, who came over to talk to me. He was dressed like the man from the mummy. "Cool costume." "Thanks. Is the other mummy August?" "Yeah." "Hey, do you know why August is mad at me?" "Uh-huh," I nodded. "Can you tell me?" "No," he nodded. He seemed bummed. "I told him I wouldn't tell you," I explained. "It's so weird," he said. "I have no idea why he's mad at me all of a sudden. None. Can't you at least give me a hint?" I looked over where August was across the room, talking to our moms. I wasn't about to break my solid oath that I wouldn't tell anyone about what he overheard on Halloween, but I felt bad for Jack. "Bleeding scream," I whispered in his ear, and then walked away. Part 4. Jack. Now, here is my secret. It is very simple. It is only with one's heart that one can see clearly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. The call. So in August, my parents got a call from Mr. Tushman, the middle school director, and my mom said, "Maybe he calls the new students to welcome them." And my dad said, "That's a lot of kids he'd be calling." So my mom called him back, and I could hear her talking to Mr. Tushman on the phone. This is exactly what she said. "Oh, hi, Mr. Tushman. This is Amanda Will, returning your call." There was a pause. "Oh, thank you. That's so nice of you to say. He's looking forward to it." Another pause. "Yes?" Pause. "Yeah?" Pause. "Oh, sure." Then a long pause. "Oh, uh-huh." Pause. "Well, that's so nice of you to say." Pause. "Sure." "Oh, wow." "Oh." Then a super long pause. "I see. Of course. I'm sure he will. Let me write it down." "Got it. I'll call you after I've had a chance to talk to him, okay?" "No, thank you for thinking of him. Bye-bye." And when she hung up, I was like, "What's up? What did he say?" And Mom said, "Well, it's actually very flattering, but kind of sad, too. See, there's this boy who's starting middle school this year, and he's never been to a real school environment before because he was homeschooled. So Mr. Tushman talked to some other lower school teachers to find out who they thought were some of the really, really great kids coming into fifth grade. And the teachers must have told him you were a especially nice kid, which I already knew, of course. And so Mr. Tushman is wondering..." Sorry. That's a helicopter going over my house. Melchizedek.
And so Mr. Tushman is wondering if he could count on you to sort of shepherd this new boy around a bit.
Like, let him hang out with me, I said.
Exactly, said Mom. He called it being a welcome buddy.
But why me?
I told you, your teachers told Mr. Tushman that you were the kind of kid who knows and is known for being a good egg. I mean, I'm so proud that they think so highly of you.
Why is it sad?
Excuse me. What do you mean? You said it's flattering, but kind of sad, too.
Oh, Mom nodded.
Well, apparently this boy has some sort of, I guess there's something wrong with his face, or something like that. Not sure. Maybe he was in an accident. Mr. Tushman said he'd explain a bit more when you come to school next week.
School doesn't start till September.
He wants you to meet this kid before school starts.
Do I have to?
Mom looked a bit surprised.
Well, no, of course not, she said. But it would be a nice thing to do, Jack.
If I don't have to do it, I said, I don't want to do it.
Can you at least think about it?
I'm thinking about it, and I don't want to do it.
Well, I'm not going to force you, she said, but at least think on it some more, okay?
I'm not calling Mr. Tushman back until tomorrow, so just sit with it a bit.
I mean, Jack, I really don't think it's that much to ask that you spend a little extra time with some new kid.
It's not just that he's a new kid, Mom, I answered. He's deformed.
That's a terrible thing to say, Jack.
He is, Mom.
You don't even know who it is.
Yeah, I do, I said, because I knew the second she started talking about him, it was that kid named August.
Carvel.
I remember seeing him for the first time in front of the Carvel on Amesford Avenue when I was about 5 or 6. Me and Veronica, my babysitter, were sitting on the bench outside the store with Jamie, my baby brother, who was sitting in a stroller facing us. I guess I was busy eating my ice cream cone because I didn't even notice the people who sat down next to us. Then at one point, I turned my head to suck the ice cream out of the bottom of my cone, and that's when I saw him, August. He was sitting right next to me. I know it wasn't cool, but I kind of went, ah, when I saw him, because I honestly got scared. I thought he was wearing a zombie mask or something. It was the kind of, ah, you say when you're watching a scary movie and the bad guy jumps out of the bushes. Anyway, I know it wasn't nice of me to do that. And though the kid didn't hear me, I know his sister did.
Jack, we have to go, said Veronica.
She had gotten up and was turning the stroller around because Jamie, who had obviously just noticed the kid too, was about to say something embarrassing. So I jumped up kind of suddenly, like a bee had landed on me, and followed Veronica as she zoomed away. I could hear the kid's mom saying softly behind us, "Okay, guys, I think it's time to go." And I turned around to look at them one more time. The kid was licking his ice cream cone, the mom was picking up his scooter, and his sister was glaring at me like she was going to kill me. I looked away quickly.
"Veronica, what was wrong with that kid?" I whispered.
"Hush, boy," she said, her voice angry. I love Veronica, but when she got mad, she got mad. Meanwhile, Jamie was practically spilling out of his stroller trying to get another look as Veronica pushed him away.
"But Veronica," said Jamie.
"You boys were very naughty, very naughty," said Veronica, as soon as we were further down the block, staring like that.
"I didn't mean to," I said.
"Veronica," said Jamie. "Us leaving like that," Veronica was muttering. "Oh, Lord, that poor lady. I tell you, boys, every day we should thank the Lord for our blessings. You hear me?"
"Veronica."
"What is it, Jamie?
Is it Halloween?"
"No, Jamie."
"Then why was that boy wearing a mask?"
Veronica didn't answer. Sometimes when she was mad about something, she would do that. "He wasn't wearing a mask," I explained to Jamie.
"Hush, Jack," said Veronica.
"Why are you so mad, Veronica?" I couldn't help asking. I thought this would make her angrier, but actually she shook her head. "It was bad how we did that," she said, "just getting up like that, like we'd just seen the devil. I was scared for what Jamie was going to say, you know. I didn't want him to say something that would hurt that little boy's feelings. But it was very bad, us leaving like that.
The mama knew what was going on.
But we didn't mean it, I answered.
Jack, sometimes you don't have to mean to hurt someone, you understand?
It was the first time I ever saw August in the neighborhood, at least that I remember. But I've seen him around ever since then, a couple of times in the playground, a few times in the park. He used to wear an astronaut helmet sometimes, but I always knew it was him underneath the helmet. All the kids in the neighborhood knew it was him. Everyone has seen August at some point or another. We all know his name, though he doesn't know ours. And whenever I've seen him, I try to remember what Veronica said. But it's hard. It's hard not to sneak a second look. It's hard not to act normal when you see him. Why I changed my mind.
Oh, and that's where I need to stop. If you are following along in the book, next time I will pick up on page 149 at the chapter titled Why I Changed My Mind. Have a great day, everyone.